Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Buchanan Report, this sixth day of August 2009. Boy, I need to clear my head. My name's Ivan Buchanan, I think this is Ivan. I am your host. My co-host is always Ron Hanks and Rhonda Moon Lane. If you're joining us for the first time, our call-in number is 347-857-1710. You guys please check me just to make sure I'm giving out the right numbers here.
347-857.
It is. Okay, good. For those of you that do call in, please watch your language. We try to keep it as clean as we can. Our guest tonight is whistleblowers Jay D'Onofrio and Marianne Belding. Hi, Tinker. How you doing? They're calling in. We'll be speaking about what a night. We'll be speaking about the Whistleblower Summit last week. I know that I started putting the marketing out there for, we were going to do it live, but we had a hitch in the giddy up to people putting on the Whistleblower Summit, wanted to, you know, do a live stream, et cetera. So we weren't able to do that. So I tried to get the message out the best I could to everyone there that we would not be doing it live. So bummer on our part. We really look forward to doing it, but there'll be more in the future. We'll get it worked out. But before we go to our guest tonight, I want to remind everyone the website, thebuchananreport.com, thebuchananreport.com. Tons of links, links to our YouTube. We're starting to put up even more of the shows on our YouTube channel. Hey, Jay's wife, Becky, throwing a little at you there. Are you going to help me out with this? I've got to throw a stick at it. So, just a little jab in the ribs there. But outside of that, again, it's been a crazy last couple of days. I apologize for the intro here. But, again, before we get to our whistleblowers, Jay D'Onofrio and Marianne Belding, I'm going to throw it over to you, Rhonda, and what do you got?
I have one, and I know we've heard this before from other whistleblowers, but two former employees of the Cleveland VA Medical Center were actually charged in federal court with stealing overtime. I know we've talked to Florida whistleblowers.
How do you steal overtime?
Well, I was just going to explain that. Exactly. Remember our whistleblower in Florida that they didn't sign off on all of the things she needed to be able to do so that the other employee there could get overtime because they'd been making overtime for years. So they just didn't say she was qualified to do these things so the other employee could keep their overtime. That's how you steal overtime.
So other she was doing the work, but other people were taking credit for her work?
Yep. Well, it's like working at a government place. She was qualified. She'd been doing it for years. But you have to get a sign-off that says you are qualified to do it. And if they don't have a signed-off person qualified to do it, then whoever else is there gets the overtime to say they did the work.
Even though they didn't work it.
That's
tough. Well, you remember about 4 years ago, Ivan, we had the state rep that was he worked security at the college there in Grand Junction. He was also part of the sheriff's department, and he was double billing because he was charging them both for the time spent. Same kind of deal.
Yeah. Huh. So apparently this one. Between August 2015 and September 2017, she charged them for $17,000 in overtime pay that she didn't work. She says that she thought she was handling her pay situation properly.
Right. For 17 grand, I'm sure she did.
Right. So both women were charged via criminal information, which usually means a plea agreement is forthcoming. They haven't been arraigned yet, but it's probably going to be another one. Plea agreement, move them somewhere else then. just like all the other times.
Fights.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're charged, but we'll see what comes of it. And we lost another veteran by suicide at a VA Sunday.
Oh, boy.
North Carolina, in the parking lot. Guess how many have taken their own lives on VA property in the last 2 years?
Too many.
30.
No idea. 30? 30. I was going to say
they'd
maybe 15, 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought too. I know that they don't report on all of them because I have seen people that have been there when it's happened and no news stories come out after that. That's happened
right.
like 3 or 4 times in the last 4 months. Apparently,
well,
they're
you know,
saying that
the VA is not rushing to the phone to let the news media know.
No, and the local VA is not reporting it to the VA.
Right. They said it has gone up, apparently in protest of the problems with VA benefits or care.
Uh-huh.
So, well, that's kind of obvious, I would think.
Oh. Hmm. I don't know what to say. It's horrible.
It is horrible. And it's
okay.
not changing anytime soon. All right. That's all of me and my bad news.
Well, I thought,
okay.
I thought on that note, I thought Jay spoke to someone at the last whistleblower summit that said that they had everything fixed, you know, so. Oh, we got Jay in the blue room. He can't talk. I know he's jumping up to say something about this right now. But, yeah, I think it was the acting director at the time. And, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, just getting you warmed up, Jay. Just getting you warmed up. All right, Ron, over to you.
Okay. I've got one I picked up out of the local manager from Sentinel. First of the month, we had a gentleman here in town, 71-year-old Air Force veteran, walking across the United States from Massachusetts. He's headed to California.
Yep.
This booger is covering 30 miles a day.
Wow.
As
wow.
average. Averaging. Yes. And his whole point is, he's worked around vets. He's seen the problem. He's doing this to raise money for veterans and veterans awareness. He stopped at VA's where he's at, whatnot that way. He stopped in Grand Junction and took some time for his wife to catch up and for them to spend some time together. If you see some guy on a back road walking down there, he's got a backpack on with a sign on the back that says, "Veterans, don't forget veterans." Stop. Give him some water, something,
yep.
you know, some shade, anything like that. Give him a chance to take a break because he's realized during this journey that the scope of the problem is much larger than he ever realized. And the five areas he's focusing on are eliminating veteran homelessness, addressing veteran suicide, guaranteeing veterans high-quality medical care, and electing more veterans and increasing pay for enlistees. So, you know, he's got a broad agenda going on there and has got a lot going on. I wish him the best.
Where is he walking from and to again?
From Massachusetts to California.
Well, if you find him, you see him, stick a $20 bill or a $100 bill if you can afford it in his pocket, you know, a $5 bill.
He's already passed here. Yeah, he's already passed here. He was headed towards Flagstaff, you know, and he thinks he's going into cooler country. I got news for him.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I'll go find this guy because... Yeah, he's going to be... Actually, I have found him. His GoFundMe is now on our page. something.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
all right.
Great.
Yeah, he does have a website. I'm looking for it. I mean, he's trying to raise that money.
Yeah.
Yeah, he better find some shade.
Yep. The next one I have, I picked up off of Bing News. There are 11 brothers from a farm family in Alabama. They all served in the military. Their service started during World War II and on into Vietnam. Between all of them, they have 158 years of service.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that's how they look at it. I guess they all get together every once in a while and share war stories. So I'm sure there's some good ones. For all you veterans that are in Colorado, yeah. For all you veterans that are in Colorado, the month of August, you have free admission to all the Colorado state parks. There's 41 of them for hiking, fishing, whatever. All you have to do is stop in at the office and prove, you know, that you're a vet, and they'll give you a pass. And any camping or anything, fishing, all that still requires a valid license, but there's a, I think it's like $8 just to drive into a park and park anymore. So there's a little
didn't they
money
start
saved.
That back in the 90s? Yeah, if I remember
yes,
right.
Yes, they did.
Colorado
they still, did. Yeah, they did, and they still continue it.
That's amazing.
My last
good for
one,
Colorado.
Yeah. My last one is my rant for the night. Here in Hotchkiss, we have a processing plant, packing shed, whatever you want to call it, where if you're raising beef or pork or whatever, you can take them in and have them processed.
Mm-hmm.
They have a saying on the back of their shirt. First we pet them, then we shoot them. I received a letter in the mail last week from the House of Representatives, from my local district representative, about how he, and he alone, has introduced a bill in the House for veterans reimbursement for emergency ambulance service. Gave the act and everything. I have heard nothing about it. But as I was reading this letter, I could feel somebody petting my head. I was waiting for the gunshot. All right. I rest my case.
Ron, you should have reached up and grabbed that book off the shelf.
Yeah, well, this was a little more interesting.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
All right.
All right. We're going to get, we got some callers that called in here.
Yeah, I need
Michelle,
to
we're going to get to you here in a minute. Jay, I just put you over live. Can you hear me? How you there?
Yes, I can. How you doing? How you doing?
Good. How you doing? How was D.C.?
Doing real. Wonderful. Wonderful. I had a good time. Met a lot of new friends, met some old friends. Got to talk about VA, which is, and whistleblowers and veterans issues, which is what I always love to do.
Well, tell us what happened there. Anything new, anything encouraging, anything bad, anything noteworthy that we need to be aware of?
Well, a couple things. One thing that was new this year as compared to last year, every year they do, Congress puts on a luncheon for all the whistleblowers in the federal government, all the whistleblowers that are there. Last year, I think we had Senator Grassley, and he was pretty much the only one. This year, there was Senator Ron Johnson was there, Congressman Elijah Cummings. There must have been six or seven senators and congressmen that stepped up and came out to support whistleblowers, which was pretty encouraging compared to last year, we just had one. So that was.
Were they actually supporting them, though? Were they? Did they have anything to say vocally to support them? And if so, did they say anything that's noteworthy?
Well, we actually, we went, myself, Jason Piccolo was one of our panelists. He was a whistleblower for the Department of Homeland Security, ICE. He was reporting, he's a veteran himself, and he was reporting children being trafficked across the border. And he's, I mean, it's a long story, but him, myself, him, and Scott Davis, so I think the VA has been on your show before. We all went door to door with different congressional offices, and they were very receptive this year. What we were pushing, and you and I talked about this a little bit, right now for federal whistleblowers, there's no access to federal courts. Federal whistleblowers at the VA and every other federal agency have to go through what's called the Merit System Protection Board, and that's an administrative law court. Well, there hasn't been a there's three judges that sit on a panel that run the board. Well, there hasn't been a quorum on the board for 2 years. So right now, any federal whistleblower case, if the VA or another agency retaliates against you, you can't get to a federal judge like until they rule against you. And then you can appeal the ruling, you still have to go back to this board. So basically what we were arguing was that there is no due process in the federal system under the 14th Amendment for whistleblowers. And the VA and other agencies know that. So if you blow the whistle, they just hold you up in these administrative law courts, and they can do whatever they want to you. So we're fighting to have Congress change the law so the whistleblowers can get into the courts rather than sit in MSUB or OSC or whatever. That was our big push this year. And also, I'm also always fighting against the OAWP. that's my best part of that.
Interesting. Ron, I want to cut in here just a second. We got a 5-8. Oh, Ron's talking to him. Oh, okay. Interesting. Where's Ron here? Where's Ron?
585.
Okay. Yeah. How do you know?
Because you just said it.
A Mary Ellen?
I don't know who that is.
She's
oh, Mary
on.
Ellen.
Okay.
Yes.
Mary what
Ellen.
Do you
she's
mean you don't know?
Yes, yeah,
I know.
She's good people. You can let her on.
Okay. All right.
I have her waiting in the blue room.
Okay. Well, I'm taking her live. She's live now. So, Mary
okay.
Ellen, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you're live. You're live. Question for you, Jay. You know, the Whistleblower Summit this year, you know, you had a different panel than you did last year. You
right.
know, Michael Volpe was on it last year, you know, and I believe he was on another, you know, whistleblower panel this year as opposed to, you know, being on the whistleblower panel for the VA here. The question that I have is this. The party that, and I want you to speak about this a little bit. There is mm-hmm. the party that put the Whistleblower Summit on. I forget the lady's name. She had talked to me a few weeks beforehand, and she had come on the show, actually called in, I believe, on one of your shows when you
yep.
were on here. Is this a is she going to sponsor this each and every year now? Is that what's happening? And if so, is it picking up steam here? What's going on here?
That's Marcel Reed. She's actually one of the she was the founder and one of the organizers. Well, her and Michael McCray are the two organizers. They were with that group, the Acorn 8, or Whistleblowers with the Acorn 8. And they're the ones that founded the Whistleblower Summit in D.C., and they do all the legwork. I mean, they're really busting tail to get everything done every year. So Marcel's a wonderful person, a good friend. So is Michael. They get a lot of this stuff together. And when you see it come together, I mean, the Whistleblower Summit is actually held on Capitol Hill in different offices, like in the different Senate offices. Like ours was in, between the Senate and the Supreme Court is a building called the Mott House. That's where we had our panel. And like I said, I mean, they had a lot of congressmen and senators involved. The special counsel in the United States was there. Who Becky had a unique conversation with. talking about the VA. So that's a different show. But they do. They really work hard, and they really do a great job.
Okay, so the panel was, there were four of you on the panel. You said that there were a half a dozen congressmen and or senators that were there. Did they actually address the people in the audience as well, or did they just show their face?
They just, I mean, they came out and gave a little speech. They do a luncheon for all the whistleblowers, and they came out and showed their support, which was nice. And then what we did, we just went, we went to the different congressional offices and actually met with the staffers, and we pushed for the changes to the whistleblower laws. And then I was personally pushing. I'm asking for Congress to disband the VA Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection. So I gave them my case, and I gave them the evidence they need. There's an ongoing OIG investigation against OAWP where they're actually targeting whistleblowers. So I'm making
this. Were you actually able to talk to directly to any congressmen or senators yourself?
No, mostly staff. It was all staff that I talked to. Congress was, the House of Representatives was on recess, and Senate was, they were voting. So I met with Senator Casey's office, met with the Government Oversight, the Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, which is Senator Johnson's committee. And then I met with the House and Senate VA committees for both the Republicans and the Democrats. So I mean, we're really, there's a lot of concerns with that Office of Accountability and Protection. And that's I'm trying to strike while the iron's hot.
Did you make any headway on the issue? And if so, what issue?
That's the thing. I mean, I followed up today with phone calls to Congress. There is some support for changing the whistleblower laws to give whistleblowers access to the federal courts. Because basically what happens is, I mean, when you blow the whistle, they've put multiple layers in there where you have enough guests on your shows where you know whistleblowers are a target of the federal government, especially the VA. But the problem is that when you blow the whistle, there's no way to get OSC to act, because OSC has a 2-year backlog, and they really don't do much to support, defend whistleblowers. I think it's only like, I think it's 95% of whistleblowers' cases never even get an investigation. And OIG doesn't mean they rarely get involved with a whistleblower case. So the idea is to get the federal court, to get a judge to give you some kind of relief to protect you. The VA's done, they've gotten rid of these administrative courts. They haven't got rid of them, but they've just taken people off the board. So you just sit in these administrative courts. And then they got rid of settlement. Anything over $5,000 has to go to the secretary of the VA or an undersecretary for approval. So, I mean, these cases, you've had guests on your show that have spent $200,000-$300,000 for lawyers' fees.
Oh, yeah.
They may never get that back. Yeah. So it's like right now, I mean, if you tell a lawyer I'm going to have a case that's going to last 10 years and I can't get approved for more than $5,000 in a settlement, you know, what lawyer's going to take that? And so it's
right.
Really, I mean, it's really an uphill fight. And that's the fight we were trying to push at Congress this week. It's just, this isn't fair on so many levels. You know, a lot of whistleblowers themselves are veterans, like myself and Jason Piccolo and Shea Wilkes, different people you've had on this show. It's just, there really is no protection. And OAWP, in my opinion, is as crooked as as can be. And they're actually, I mean, in our case, they're investigating me rather than investigating the corrupt VA officials. So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff
that I laid
out.
Yeah, well, there's supposed to be something in the works here as far as, you know, every federal agency having a, you know, OAWP type, unit for whistleblowers to go to. You know, do you know much about that and what's going on there?
Yeah, that's actually what we're trying to stop. The idea of VA was supposed to be the pilot for this program. And what we had, I mean, it was run by Peter O'Rourke. And everybody agrees that for the past few years it's been awful for whistleblowers, and the OAWP is corrupt, and they're going after whistleblowers, and they were making lists of whistleblowers. And apparently I was on the top 10 of people they wanted to get rid of. So now what they're doing, they had hearings last week in Congress, and they said they acknowledged that the investigators weren't really trained and they weren't complying with the law. Well, right there you have people investigating whistleblowers who don't know what they're doing and are breaking the law. And then you have they're not releasing FOIA documents, and they're using they spend something like $17.5 million a year on this office. And nobody, I talked to 10 people in Congress, and not one person could say this is what they do. They say they withhold documents, they don't turn over discovery requests, there's no accounting of the money. They haven't issued a report for this. They're supposed to issue a report by law every year. They didn't issue the report this year. I mean, so it's just this crazy agency. And what we're saying is, hey, let's put the brakes on this now before, like, any bureaucracy gets so big that we can't stop it. And it just takes a life of its own. Right now, it's still relatively small. But, I mean, I really, really tried to push that point home this year. And it was surprising that, you know, how much people agreed with me. But it's like, I mean, nodding heads is great. But if we're having the same conversation next year and 20 more VA whistleblowers are fired, you know, what's the point? At another $20 million.
Wasn't it O'Rourke, the one that told you that, you know, that the VA was fixed, there was no more problems?
Yeah, he told me that on day one. He had a call. We did a call on day one. And he said everything's fixed. And he ended up being the secretary of the VA, the acting secretary of the VA.
Right. Mary Ellen, jump in there anytime.
Well, you have the expert on the line with Jay, and I'm still learning. I'm a newbie from the government end of it. I'll tell you that, and it's not a
well.
Pitch,
what specifically do you do, Mary Ellen? Are you a whistleblower? Are you whistleblower advocate? Let us know.
Let me start. I'm a victim. I can tell you that I'm a victim. I'm a whistleblower advocate.
Okay.
I'm a strong veteran advocate. I'm also a federal witness in two cases for the U.S. Department of Justice. And telling truth to power was a life sentence for me. I was I had unique credentials as a federal contractor as a woman-owned contracting firm with U.S. Department of Transportation credentials, New York State credentials, as well as federal hub zone credentials, and in a pilot program sponsored by Congress to, quote-unquote, level the playing field for women and minorities in construction. Basically, bottom line is with the feel-good program, similar to others that you described, putting up what I call the veil of the masquerade of the politically correct doing the right thing. Ultimately, what happened is I began to unravel situations that did not make sense to me with the amount of years that I had in construction based on the bidding processes. My credentials should have given me the leg up and opportunities that I would bid them, but then they would dissipate. So I began to uncover the fraud and abuse in the procurement program through my credentials that ultimately was taking work away from small veteran-owned and veteran-minority-owned businesses. I became involved with other small contractors that were veterans and veteran-owned companies that were basically becoming under attack by unscrupulous, unconscionable larger contractors that were attempting to exploit them and extort them into committing fraud. And it's been a 10-year whirlwind. So
were you able to go to the whistleblower summit there in D.C.?
Yes, I was very fortunate. I was honored to be on Jay's panel. And I think our common denominator is is the recognition of the intricacies of the government and the what the laws say and what they promote versus what actually is available to people.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm missing Mary Ellen Blossom. Like she with the what we saw, we kind of did this. We met a lot of us met last year at the Whistleblower Summit, and as we talked, we saw that the same things that are happening at the VA to whistleblowers are happening at, with federal contractors. They're happening with on the border with ICE. And we tried to put a panel together this year where we could say, look, this is the playbook. This is what's happening. Like, this is their playbook. It's not just Jay. It's not just anybody. It's not Mary Ellen. It's all of us. And we shared our stories together so that people could see that, you know, this is a huge problem with whistleblower retaliation and with corruption. And I know that's what you guys are fighting against. So, and it really, I mean, we really had a good panel this year.
It's
we had a great panel this year.
Thank you, Jay. And it was an honor to be a part of it. You know, veterans should be a priority in everyone's agenda. And they clearly are in mine. But to see that these programs are, as I said, publicized for the benefit of, and in reality, it is a nightmare. The retaliation is something out of a playbook. I found some information that went back to CIA terrorism playbook back in 1945, and it could have been my life history for the last 10 years. I would have never believed in a civil society that this type of torture and denial of your inalienable rights could happen. And not only does it happen, it happens with the criminals and the large contractors, but what's more appalling is it happens, the perpetrators are the government agency. You know, at one point, and as I said, I was a federal witness for the U.S. Department of Justice on two cases. And each time that I cooperated and each time I lent my hand in my 30 years experience, life for me became horrific and for my family. And I would go from agency to agency. I would look up, you know, the protections under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. I'd look up the protections under as a federal contractor. I would look up under the protections as a woman, et cetera, et cetera. And an agent was kind enough to say to me, stop going from agency to agency. No one is ever going to help you. I had someone from the U.S. Department of Justice, after I made a federal witness retaliation claim, he said to me, yes, you were retaliated against as a federal witness, but we're not going to help you. And you're going to have to learn to accept that bad things happen to good people. And I'm not willing to accept it. I will not accept it. Not from the U.S. government.
And Ivan, to put that in perspective,
Go ahead, Jay.
What Mary Ellen said, I mean, she's 100% right. And the problem is right now, I mean, I've worked for the government for 20 years. Before that, I was in the military. And I've never seen the retaliation as pervasive as it is right now. And the issue with that is Mary Ellen hit the nail right on the head. When you take the whistleblowers out of the picture, and it's not about us and the way we're getting treated and how rotten, that sucks. I mean, it's awful. But if you take the whistleblowers out, you know, it hurts the veterans. I mean, it hurts the federal, it hurts the taxpayers. We reported wait lists, we reported suicides, we reported all these things. And right now, VA employees, I mean, that's where I come from, they're saying, I'm not going to report because of what happened to Jay. You know, and that's a terrible, terrible thing, because now you have a situation where bad doctors, you know, corrupt employees, people that, you know, Representative Jeff Miller said needed to go 5 years ago are still there. And if no one's going to blow the whistle because they're too afraid, or they're you know, it's not worth it, or they can't get an attorney, or they're not going to settle, then the floodgates open to all kinds of corruption, and veterans ultimately get hurt. And that's why we're all here.
Okay, well let me ask some hard questions, okay? And I want to hear Mary Ellen first, then I want to hear from you, Jay. What did you guys actually accomplish? I know what you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to this whole whistleblower summit, you know, is to bring the light to Congress and whoever will listen as to the wrong that is being done to whistleblowers, you know, and period. I'll just stop there. And it also encompasses many other, you know, wrongdoings as well. But what did you actually accomplish in D.C. last week? Mary Ellen?
I would say that I continued to educate as well as become educated of the system. And as Jay mentioned before, he comes from a military background. He comes from a veteran background. I had no government background at all whatsoever, other than government contracting, which is a whole different – I'm on the other side of it. I also think, to be quite frank with you, each time I go to one of these events, I meet more people, I learn more, but I become more sophisticated, if you will, to be able to draw out the valuable versus – the fluff committee, and that becomes very helpful, because when you are trying to blow the whistle, when you're trying to do the right thing, or when you're trying to recover or find your way out of this maze of retaliation, you go down so many rabbit holes, and you're almost begging, pleading for answers. So I think with this, in this particular summit, it was very, very helpful. And it was a film festival. So we saw some extraordinary films, which presented other circumstances that were quite similar to ours. Our film, we have a film, Whistleblower Productions, that was presented. And you begin this network, this incredible network of like-minded people, and you're no longer ostracized. Now you're a part of a greater mission, and it's for the greater good.
Okay, over to you, Jay. Same question.
Yeah,
and
I
another one for you,
Jay. Okay. Personally, like Mary Ellen said, I mean, we've made it. It recharges your batteries. I mean, it's tough to do this kind of stuff. And the friends we made friends with Mary Ellen, her whistleblower group with Kathy Cole and her husband Steve and Frank Vitro. I mean, we've made these friends all across the country that it's like that going down there is like a family reunion. And I mean, we take a beating all year long, and then we go down to D.C. and kind of recharge our batteries. The other thing, the second thing, to answer your question, is they see we're there, they know we're there. And case in point, and Becky's going to kill me for telling this story, but I sat down in one of the meetings, and the special counsel of the United States, the OSC, the actual special counsel, was sitting right in front of me. And I tapped him on the shoulder after the presentation, and I said, "Yeah, Mr. Kerner, my name's Jay D'Onofrio." And Mike Volpe was sitting right next to me. He jumped right up, and he said, "I know who you are, and I'm not talking to you." So he was up at the front of the room. So my lovely wife Becky charges after him with my card in hand and she says, "You might not want to talk to my husband, but look at my face, think of my kids, and think of what we go through. If you don't want to talk to him, fine, but you have to talk to me." And it's like that the support of my wife and the support of our friends, and seriously, I mean, the congressman knew we were there. We were having staffers show up and talk to us. And they're like, "Oh, crap, Mary Ellen's not going to quit. Oh, crap, Jay D'Onofrio is not going to quit." And that's, I mean, that's the big thing we do now when we're down there, to remind this is, you know, veterans are still dying. You know, this stuff still needs fixed, and we're not giving up.
That's funny. And those of you that know Becky, I can see her doing it too.
Yeah,
on to my next question here. I got to get to my next question. It's, you know, we're running, not running short on time, but we're running on our time here. So why, you know, you said earlier, it was last week when the summit, occurred in D.C. And, you know, basically everyone is on vacation, if you will. They're out of session. Why isn't this summit going on when everyone's there, to where you can actually get into, you know, congressmen's faces and senators' faces, and they can't dodge you? Or if they do, it's, you know, they got to put some effort in dodging you. Why is it the summit on, you know, on a week at a time that they're not in session?
Mary Ellen, do you want to get that one?
Thanks, Jay. It's funny, I felt that across country. You know, it's funny, not funny, but it's funny you should ask that, because I received a survey today from the Whistleblower Summit that I do plan on completing, and that is my question. Why are we there the week after? Why are we there, you know, going from office to office, from building to building, already knowing that, and I realize and recognize how much influence that the office staffers have, but I think it's time that the elected officials, our elected representatives, see the face with the name, with the our mission, and having it the week after everyone has left town seems to be kind of contradiction of what our mission should be. So I'll have the answer for you next year if you invite me back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm just curious, because you want maximum impact for your efforts, you know, and it's great that you guys recharge your batteries and this, you know, that, and I'm glad to hear that it's expanding into, you know, what you said. You know, you've got, you know, moving, from what I understand, Netflix was there, and, you know, companies like that. So, but, you know, it just seems to me that I know I'm gonna, you know, in your face type of guy. You know, if I'm gonna spend the money to go to Washington D.C., I don't want to be talking to no staffer. You know, I mean, I'll hunt that sucker down out, you know, in the Rose Garden if that's where he tries to hide and choke him out, you know, to talk to him. You know, if I'm gonna spend that kind of money and that time there, that's just the way I am. You know. But, you know, I mean, it's a legitimate question that I've been asked by a few people, and I figured I would, you know, I would ask, well, is it a matter, do you guys know, is it a matter of they won't give you the time, it's more expensive to rent the space, you know, I mean, what is it specifically?
The idea is July 30th is National Whistleblower Day. That's the day Congress recognizes as the Whistleblower Day. So that's why they took off that week, huh? Yeah, well,
right?
Only the House took off. Only the House took off. The Senate was still there. So we give them credit. So that's why they have it on that day. So that's the whole the whole idea, is to focus the week around the Whistleblower Summit, or the National Whistleblower Day.
All right.
How did they come
up
with the National Whistleblower Day?
Yeah,
that
question.
Goes back to the Revolutionary War, I guess. Now, see, I missed it the first year. This year I got the story. There was, during the Revolution, some Continental soldiers were reporting that one of the commanders was stealing money from the Colonial Army.
Yeah.
And they reported it to Congress, the Continental Congress, and the person they reported was a high-ranking officer from Rhode Island. He arrested all the whistleblowers. They snuck out a letter, got it to Continental Congress. Congress actually paid for the whistleblower's defense, against this colonel or general or whatever he was. And they were all in the archives has now found that letter to show they were the first whistleblowers for the United States. Well, before we were the United States, but for America. And that's how we got the National Whistleblower Day. Now, if only they would do that now, that'd be great. But that's how that day started.
They need to take some notes and start paying for the whistleblowers now. They need to continue that tradition.
Wow. Absolutely. So I'll find the story and I'll send it to you. It was a really good story.
Okay. All right, I got to jump in here. I've got two people.
And it's Becky's birthday, she said.
Oh, okay.
July
30th. Yeah,
July
30th. Okay. July 30th. All right, I have two people hanging in the wings. I know they can hear me now, and so I'm going to bring you on one at a time, but you only have 60 seconds, 6-0. And don't be mad at me if I got to cut you off because I'm only going to allow 60 seconds. First one's going to be Michelle. He's got either a comment or a question. And then we have Kevin Caldwell, who wants to give a quick update on his situation. And then we will get back to our guests here. So, Michelle, I'm putting you on.
Hello, Ivan and Rhonda.
You're on. You're live.
All right. Later on, I hope you give both of Mary both of your guests my number so they can call me so we can talk individually on some of the topics more in depth that tonight. But me being an being in the military and I had signed a non-disclosure agreement and being an ex-sniper, I really thank all the whistleblowers. I've been triggered for the past whistleblowers that I've been having on. I've been listening to the show. You should see the holes in my house. but I really appreciate what they've done and what they're going through, especially the police, as well as the other whistleblowers. The VA seems to be turning into the CIA or NSA. The agencies don't even exist, as they always tell everybody. But and the way they're treating everybody, they're treating us as veterans the worst. They're putting, like Jay said, doctors are putting erroneous and nurses putting erroneous things in people's medical records, and that's absolutely lies. And you got to have proof to overcome them lies. And I got a couple of them they put in mine, which luckily I have the proof to counteract that. But I really appreciate everything y'all have done, and if I can help y'all out, because I have had government experience as well, also ex-elected official here in my hometown, and Congressman David Scott is a representative for my district, and he's that's his main thing is veterans, so reach out to him, both of y'all, Congressman David Scott from Georgia, 13th District. And I'm pretty sure his office will be glad to help you in any way possible passing legislation.
Thank you so much. All right. That means a lot.
Thank you very much, Michelle. I appreciate it.
Yeah, please give them my information so they can call me individually, my phone number. I don't want to say it on the loud because we know the VA is listening. Listening,
of course.
Probably. Yeah, they're listening. I can go in more detail, things of the corruption that I found here at the Atlanta VA and some of the satellite office, the satellite CP exams and stuff like that that goes on too. So, but I'll let you go.
All right.
But I got y'all back, and I'd be glad to help y'all out in any way possible, any whistleblower, any, because I really appreciate from a veteran's point of view. More so because the last stand is why veterans kill themselves at the VA hospitals. That's the last stand of defiance. And over to Ron, he's talking about that path you go at all the federal resorts or federal places you go, like Yosemite Park, Grand Canyon, the Grand Canyon. They make a pass for a veteran free, and you get lifetime if you're handicapped, but you got to apply for it, and it's free. I got mine, so So, but I just want to pass that along to Ron.
Okay.
Thank you so
much.
Thanks,
Michelle.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Got him in the blue room. The little joke here around the house when I talked to the wife, she just said, "I ain't listening to you." And I said, "I don't need you listening to me. I know the government listens to me at least once a week. So, you know, go ahead, do that
all the time.
You know, I know they're listening. You know, all the time they're listening. Probably even when I don't know they're listening. You know." So. All right, going to move on here. Kevin, I'm going to put you on live here. You got 60 seconds here to give us an update, and you're on live. You there?
Hey, Ivan. This is Kevin Caldwell from Fort Lauderdale. I did have an update for you tonight, but I'm so into the show tonight, I really want to comment on the show. The Summit for Whistleblowers, to me, should represent other things than what I'm hearing tonight. The whistleblowers need to get together because it's an election year. Trump is on the spot with veterans right now. We need a special counsel set up. We need a press release that says we're going to do a class act lawsuit against the VA for whistleblower protection, and there needs to be legal representation. If you go to court and you're a criminal, you get a legal representation. If you're an immigrant and you come into this country, you get a legal representation. Why does a whistleblower not get an attorney that's paid for by the government standing by their side? So at a whistleblower summit, I would say don't talk to any congressman, don't talk to anybody. Get in the president's face and say, you set accountability, you signed a bill that says $5,000 is all we can get. What are you doing to fix it? And if you don't do it during the election year and you don't demand that they set up a special counsel and release the emails where directors had this playbook with the secretary, Dr. Shulkin, you're not going to ever end the whistleblower problem. They have to demand it this year in the election year or they're not going to get it. And I'd like to hear the guest speaker that you have talk to why none of the whistleblowers have ever got together and went on national TV and said, we're not putting up with it. It went across the country. We have one person after another that will tell their story, because you can't beat them in the EEO court. You can't beat them in the SMBPB boards. So the only way we can go at them is to get a class action lawsuit. Whistleblowers, they did extraordinary and unusual working conditions. It's a workers' comp case. You have to beat them at their game, and I'd like to hear the guy talk on it.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it putting you in the blue room. And I said, okay, I've got him in the blue room. Jay, Mary Ellen, you want to comment on his comment there?
Yeah, real quick. I mean, we are actually, it's a good point. It's a very good point. And, I mean, we are fighting that. Look up D'Onofrio versus Department of Veterans Affairs. It's on PACER. We actually just lost at the federal circuit, the full federal circuit. We have another case going up with the MSPB. I talked to a lot of media, like national media personalities and newspapers, talked to the Washington Post, USA Today, things like that. We do have a pretty solid media background. The thing is right now, VA stories aren't making the news, and that's what's sad. I mean, the veteran stories, as big of an issue as it is, it's been so bad for so long. I had one national newspaper tell me that, you know, we believe you, we know it's true, it just doesn't make money. And that, I mean, that, as a veteran myself, I'm a disabled veteran, that literally broke my heart. Because if you know,
so they're getting callous to the point because it's been in the news for so many years now. So everyone's just getting callous to it, and no one, it's not selling their time. People just they're saying that the public is getting disinterested in the plight of VA whistleblowers.
Yes, and I mean, it's fighting court. I mean, that's the thing. Fighting court, you're looking at my case. My first case filing was 2013. I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but we've had whistleblowers come together, and some have, you know, stab each other in the back, and you know, we've had these issues. And it's such a long road, and I mean, it's a 10-year court battle isn't sensational, like a O.J. Simpson case or something like that. You know, it's not. It's one thing to walk into work as a VA employee, and you know, I have walked into work and seen, but Ron brought up veteran suicide, you know, we've walked into work and had veterans that have shot themselves in our parking lot. And it's like, you know, I, you know me, I raise my voice and everything. I raise the flag as high as I can. I wave my arms, and it's just, people are just getting apathetic to, you know, last year was the highest number of suicides in the military ever recorded. And people, and I read that on the back page of a newspaper, not even in the front page. You know, and that's where we are in this nation. You try to find a story about, you know, the VA or veteran suicide or something like that. You're looking, you know, you're going to do a good Google search on that. But that doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means people just have stopped caring. And that's kind of what we're, you know, Mary Ellen, myself, and pretty much every whistleblower you have on the show is trying to do.
We tried. I mean, going from publication, and whether it's, you know, the conspiracy theory that they've been told not to report it, whether, you know, there's threats. We've heard that there's been, you know, advertisers, large advertisers have threatened.
Well,
wait a minute.
You say conspiracy theory. Are you saying that that's all that is a conspiracy theory? Are you saying that they haven't been told to report it?
Absolutely not. I use that term because I shouldn't, because that's everything. So many times when we bring the truth to power, we're called conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
And so we spend a good portion of our time proving our truth, but it's on deaf ears. So we found, after going from media outlet to media outlet and going to interview after interview, and then, you know, the rug pulled out from under us multiple times, that we actually, Kathy Cole is a New York whistleblower. She blew the whistle on the New York State Education Department, and based on her company and a safety device apparatus that she was designed after the deaths of several children in school districts, she blew the whistle, and it's been she's up to 20-year fight for her. And we found other whistleblowers through social media from New York. And we found each other. Jeff Mansour reported severe abuse in OPWDD, Office of Protection for the Developmentally Disabled in New York. And that led to another gentleman, Mike Carey, the Jonathan Carey Foundation. His son was murdered by employees of the OPWDD. And so we developed this network of people with the same, it just is now Jay is a part of the network, and we couldn't get our stories out. So Kathy took it upon herself, and she developed Whistleblower Production. And we've done an hour and 15 minute movie. We played it at the summit in Washington, D.C. Then we went to New York City, and we played it in a film festival there, and we're using that media ourselves to get our story out, because we haven't been able to do it in the newspapers or the radio, mainstream media. They just shut us down. And I think part of it is, and it's a terrible thing to say, is that the true heroism is from the veteran. It's not sexy anymore. Okay, it's not something that's promoted or that people aspire to. We've become people like Jay, unfortunately, and Jason, and other Bruce veteran whistleblowers have become more of a negative. We've become what we're trying to do is change that. We have to start back, and if we're not going to get the help and support of mainstream media, which is the message we've gotten loud and clear, then we're going to develop our own. And I think it's becoming radical. We need to, as your last caller mentioned, you know, filing class.
Well, let me know if I can help on that, because I sure would like to if I could. You know, that one comment that I do want to make, you know, that, you know, this is in relationship to what Jay was saying, to where there's just, you know, so much out there, and the stuff, it's been going on for a long time. It's been reported by the, you know, major news media. Now it just seems like people are becoming disinterested, et cetera. One comment I want to make is, you know, Michael Volpe, you know, I know that he reports on numerous things, one of them being, you know, VA whistleblowers and what's going on there. And I do know, I have heard from people that know him, that have gone to him with good stories. He's actually tried to you know, write a story. Who does he write for? Is it
Daily Caller.
Yeah, the Daily Caller. Yeah, and I know that he has, you know, gone to his bosses to try to, you know, write some stories. And some, you know, they allow him to write, but he doesn't have the final say. And, you know, he's been trying to write more than what you guys are reading, you know, that he's writing. But they're just putting the stops to him, too. So, you know,
yeah.
It's...
One thing on
it's,
that,
it's,
Ivan, was,
it's horrible.
Like, remember, I mean, when we talk about, for me, it's the VA. I mean, it's a $220 billion a year agency. That's how much taxpayer money goes to the VA every year. They have hundreds and hundreds of public affairs officials, lawyers, that they spend millions upon millions upon millions of dollars that run the narrative. And that's, you know, there's a list. I got a
Well,
they've
spent
week.
That much money on your cases, you know, so
yeah,
you're
exactly,
doing your
exactly,
part.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
but they brief. I mean, tomorrow they're going to brief the VA secretary on. They're going to be on this show. They brief the VA secretary on every single news article that's negative of the VA. But last year there was they gave $6 million. Congress allocated $6 million for veterans suicide prevention. And VA didn't spend
Wait a minute!
Any.
Did you just say once a week the VA secretary is getting a briefing on my show on what we're talking
yeah,
about?
Day,
is that what you're
day,
saying?
Anything negative? That's the FOIA request I got this week from the VA secretary's office. Every negative news article that comes out against the VA, every whistleblower report, there is a brief that goes to every public affairs officer in the VA, and then it goes to the secretary. And
have we talked enough negative here tonight? I want to make sure he gets a good briefing here tomorrow. I mean,
paying somebody to listen to your show. They were paying somebody to listen to your show. We found out. On
yeah,
yeah,
I,
and
yeah, I have proof.
I made that comment. Yeah, I made the comment. I think it was on the last show. I said that's really stupid. They're paying people. That's a waste of taxpayers' money to listen to my show. All you got to do is wait about 15 minutes and you can, you know, listen to it. It's archived. You can download it. You can, you know, do whatever you want. We don't edit it or, you know, anything like that. So what a waste of money. I mean, anyway,
well, people go on my Twitter account. I'll post one of the briefs to the secretary and to the public affairs officers tonight that I got in a FOIA request, FOIA response. It's at James D'Onofrio on Twitter, and I'll put a picture of what the briefs look like. But yeah, every day, I mean, they give a list of any negative VA story.
We need to get, you know, everybody we can just to start saying negative stuff and all of that. So he'll have a briefing that'll take him, you know, weeks for him to get through here. You know.
They just want to hear my quotable quote.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, I think
yeah,
the idea is, I mean, and what we're trying to do, if there's a lot of power. I mean, if every veteran in this country would call their congressman, I mean, the gentleman was right. The gentleman who said, you know, we all need to get a voice. We all have a voice. And go out and vote, and you go out and pick up the phone and call your congressman or your senator and say, I'm a veteran. You know, I hear what's going on. Send a newspaper article if something's happening in your town. And I mean, there's 20 million veterans in the United States right now. And take their family, that's 40 million. That's a good chunk of America, you know, and their friends. If everybody would just call and say, look, we're sick of this. We're sick of this treatment of veterans. We're sick of, you know, whatever. I mean, that does change stuff.
Right, and for some reason, I feel compelled to make this comment, and you guys might get mad at me for making it, but I really think in all fairness, because me and the wife just the other day were talking about this, you know, there are some VA, you know, facilities out there. I've got, you know, like Las Vegas, I got every veteran we talk to, they just praise Las Vegas. You know, I know that I've received emails on various other, you know, places. There was one out of New Jersey that, you know, one guy just praised, you know, the VA facility there. And there have been other states as well. But then, you know, then you hear about Bay Pines, you hear about Phoenix, you hear about Los Angeles, you hear about Montana. You know, supposedly Montana is getting their shite together. But, you know, then when I heard that and I heard a couple of good stories, and all of a sudden, bang, I hear a couple, you know, a couple more bad ones, you know. And it's, you know, the problem there apparently is that there's nothing standardized. Whoever's the head of the facility can run it the way that they, you know, choose to run it. You know, so, you know, that gets down to the quality of care, you know, all kinds of things, corruption within police department there at the facility. It just, you know, branches off from there. Go ahead.
And I mean, a couple apples do spoil the bunch. I mean, that's where we're. And it's in the VAs. The same people that Congressman Miller, back when he was head of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, said there's some really great people. And I've said this over and over again. There's some really great people at the VA. There's lots of wonderful people, but there's some rotten people at the VA that need to go. And that was his words, not mine. And when you keep them there, what they do, they shuffle them and they promote them and all this stuff like that. You take a bad director, and I'm just saying Altoona, and you move them to Memphis, or you move them to Los Angeles. You know, you haven't solved the problem. You've just moved the problem, and now you have two bad places instead of one. And they you know,
but how
so,
can
I mean,
it, but,
Mary Ellen
but,
speak
but,
more to that.
Yeah, one last comment, though, and then I'll go over to Mary Ellen. But, you know, how do veterans expect, you know, to have faith in, you know, what's going on with, you know, the veteran facilities where there are problems, known problems, when you have the head of the VA at the time, or O'Rourke, just a year ago, coming out saying, oh, we fixed the problems. You know, now, you know, the fish rots from the head down. You know, that's the saying. You know, and so he was the head at the time. For him to come out and make, frankly, an asinine statement like that when you have, you know, what's better about it? You know, I didn't hear that the 22 went down to zero, you know. I didn't hear about, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that never stop. And for him to make a statement like that, quite frankly, it goes beyond, you know, asinine. It's just not a responsible statement.
Well, that's where people just deny it. It's like if you deny it, it'll go away. That doesn't work. I mean, we all know, you know, maybe when you're five and you close your eyes and everybody disappears, but. But when you grow up in the real world, you know, denying something doesn't make it better. You know, actually getting your hands dirty and digging and cleaning the mess is what fixes something. And that's what we're trying to – I mean, we're just small sparks. And it's like we – if it's just Jay D'Onofrio or, you know, Sean Higgins or Mary Ellen Belding, I mean, yeah, that's a couple of small voices. Other people have to kind of – we're just trying to get something started. And that's what we've been trying to do for a while.
You mentioned Sean Higgins. You know that the briefing is going to be another hour long just because you mentioned his name. That they're going to get to. You know that. You know that. Hey, why did you do that to Sean?
Sean's good.
Go ahead, Mary Ellen. You want to jump in?
If you don't mind me interjecting here, and I've been involved with the local veterans on a very personal nature, but I hate to say it, but I'm going to. It's follow the money. I've seen money, millions and millions and millions and millions, going to veterans outreach centers and in different programs that are funneled through corruption. And, you know, why is a head of a veteran outreach center making, you know, $175,000 a year, but there's, you know, no help for the homeless. So unfortunately, so much of it goes back to the corruption involved. And as Jay said, who is in charge? You know, who is the person that, who answers to whom? And I found out very, quite a while to figure it out, are these agencies that are titled with all these glorious titles of who are supposed to be out there, the outreach, the medical facilities, so on and so forth. They're the cover-up committee. They're not meant to fix
things. I've got a question, and after I ask my question, I don't want to be rude like I am on most of my shows, but Rhonda, you want to jump in here, cut me off if you have something to say or any questions. But, you know, one thing I want to address here is I had heard or I read somewhere that OAWP, this new division where Brandon Coleman works, you know, where whistleblowers are supposed to feel comfortable to call in and, you know, et cetera. I heard or I read somewhere, and I'm asking if you guys know the truth to this, that they don't know what their budget is, that division. Is that true?
I don't know if they don't know what their budget is. I know they can't account for their budget. I know that. That's the issue. They've been given $17.5 million a year. They were basically when Peter O'Rourke was removed from that office, he was still taking trips on taxpayer dimes with OAWP. So, I mean, there really is, that office is just that. I mean, they're trying to do like a soft reboot where they started over and they're, oh, you know, the past. They're saying the past is the past, but it's all a big masquerade. I mean, this office is, in my opinion, is corrupt to the core. I've taken them to court. They've admitted targeting the whistleblowers. They've admitted going after whistleblowers. The people that came after me work for that office. We have text messages with OAWP officials telling VA employees not to talk to Office of Special Counsel, not to report wrongdoing, and in exchange they would be given job incentives like training or promotions or things like that. So, I mean, that's all on the record, and that'll all be coming out very soon. So spoiler alert there. So again, that's why we're trying to fight. we're trying to fight to close down that office because it is very corrupt and it's engaged in what I believe is criminal activity. I've reported that to the special counsel. I've reported them for obstruction of justice. I've reported them for corruption and conspiracy. So I mean it's a big
point. I
want to
thank you, Jay. You just made his briefing another hour longer, and now I can go. You know, the people are going to be knocking on my door now. You know,
that's
so
all right. I get
appreciate
the little
red dot,
Jay. You know.
Yeah, I love you.
Well,
too,
that,
but, you know.
If you can prove it, it's a fact. So, and that's I have the evidence. I've given it to Congress. Let's see what they do with it. I've met with the special IG. I've been interviewed twice, deposed twice, under oath. So it's in their hands. There's a report coming out in September. So let's see what they do. Let's see if they step up and take a swing and hit.
Okay, question. And I gotta ask this question. With everything that you just said, the people that you were talking to in D.C., did you tell them this, that I've got this, I gave them that, I testified to this? You know, this is real. It's not a story I'm telling you. It's in the record, under oath, you know, for anybody to see.
I gave those documents, and those are sworn affidavits. Those are sworn testimony, emails that other people had sent me with the emails all the way up to the top, all the records. I gave it to the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, both the Republicans and the Democrats. I gave it to the Senate VA Committee, both the Republicans and the Democrats. I gave it to the Senate Oversight Committee, the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, and I gave it to Senator Casey. I gave it to the USA Today. I gave it to the Washington Post. I gave it to the Washington Examiner. I gave it to every other newspaper, Philadelphia Inquirer. They all have it. So everything I have, it's what are they going to do with it? So that's everything I get.
And you did all that in one day, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's in our case. It's all in the newest case we have, because I actually filed charges against the OAWP. So what I'm saying is that the OAWP is actually retaliating against whistleblowers. So whistleblowers were supposed to protect. So
when did you file the charges, and with whom did you file the charges with?
The OIG, the Office of Inspector General, and the case, that's the case of, with the OSC. The OSC closed the case, refused to take the case, and then that's now with the Merit System Protection Board. So, and the OIG actually told me before this new investigation, they said when Peter O'Rourke was still in charge, I was told that the OAWP is off limits.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So, I mean, the decision
Mary
coming
Ellen,
out of the case
supposed
to be
on
August
16th. Rhonda, jump in. Go ahead, Mary Ellen.
No, I would say you have the expert. I as I said, just learning the acronyms for me took me quite a while, and I am an apprentice in comparison with Jay. But
Dylan Marianne fell herself short.
The reality is that these hidden secrets, they keep coming out. And I use the analogy, they didn't count on technology, they didn't count on social media, and they didn't count on us. And our us keeps growing, and it's going to continue to grow. And we're not stopping, and we're not backing down. And these are elected representatives that were entrusted to protect the veterans, entrusted to protect the people of this country. And they failed miserably. And it's time to regroup and reevaluate and remove the people that are not willing to stand up for our most valuable people, our heroes.
Well,
in
you're
this
talking
country,
about pretty much
veterans.
All of Congress and the senators here, you know. So
yeah, is that
you're
a problem?
Talking about clean house.
That's not a problem for me. You know, it goes back to the same thing everybody's been asking for. The simplistic thing, term limits. Well, how are congressional people that make $175,000 a year multimillionaires? Right? I mean, it's report after report after report. And we all know it's there. And until people wake up and kind of shake the trees a little bit and stand up, that's what needs to be done. And it's up to us. It's up to the Jays and the Mary Ellens and the Shawns. It's up to us to be radical and have our message be radical. We're not going to stand for this anymore. These are human beings. These are the people that sacrifice their life and limb for our safety and security in this country. And how pathetic.
Well, I certainly applaud the people that are doing the Whistleblower Summit. You know, the only two criticisms that I would give would be, one, you know, you got to get it on a date where, you know, everybody's there, not on vacation, you know. You know, that just has to be done. And secondly, is it, you know, an annual thing, it just seems like, you know, it's going to be another year now, you know, and so everyone kind of, you know, they go back into their normal swing. Is there any way to get this, you know, on twice a year, every 6 months, and then, you know, quarter, you know, every 3 months? I mean, because if you keep sticking it to them right in their face, you know, and you're there, et cetera, has there been any talk along those lines, you know, on doing it more than
I've
just
once a year?
I've brought
that up on multiple occasions, and not everybody can travel to Washington, D.C. It's very expensive, and it's very time-consuming. And for some people, especially disabled, it's almost impossible. One of the things that I've said is, Jay is much more politically correct than I am. Unfortunately, I'm like a bull in a china shop. I appreciate and respect what's being done at the summit.
Jay's more politically correct.
Yeah, can you imagine? Go figure.
Well, then Becky needs to be doing the talking then. I mean, come on. You know, that's an easy
Becky
fix on the D'Onofrio clan.
Yeah,
yeah,
put Becky and I in the room together. It's not pretty. I'll tell you that. I really do believe that this is not a once-a-year issue. This is not the Whistleblower Summit has its purpose, but the purpose needs to expand. And if it's not going to expand with this group, then there needs to be another group. There needs to be an all-inclusive daily environment resource for people to contact. There needs to be monthly meetings, not annual meetings.
Well, let me bring up something here. You know, a few years ago, you know, Rhonda, you're there, right? Or are you playing with
Yeah,
Tinker?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
No,
a few years ago, you know, before there was a Whistleblower Summit, I had talked to, you know, Rhonda about us putting together a Whistleblower Summit, you know, and live streaming it, you know, et cetera, and doing it out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, we even went so far as we started checking on places. Remember that, Rhonda?
Mm-hmm.
And we can get places here, okay, and make deals in casinos for cheap.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So what I'm saying is okay, you got your annual there. Does it, if you do it more than once a year, you know, it'd be nice if you could do it, you know, out of DC, you know, every time you do one. But if you can't, because of what you're bringing up, is it a good alternative? Of course, everyone loves to go to Vegas. You follow me?
I think,
you know, so
Vegas, maybe,
you know,
maybe Congress will come.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God,
that's
really
kind of what I want. You know, we'll make a couple calls down to the Bunny Ranch or what. You know, we'll get everything lined up for them. You know, but give them and say, I got the women Congress going to come after me now. But in any event, you know, on a serious note, I mean, you know, Rhonda can speak to this. We were actually surprise as to how much we could get a room for, how big the room was.
Yes.
You know, how many people it could seat for cheap.
Yeah. They really want you
in
to
a nice
there.
In a nice known casino. Not, you know, not somewhere down, you know, in the bad part of town. I mean a nice known casino. You know, so this is something that obviously, you know, you're making great headway with this summit, but it just seems like once a year and, you know, man, you just got, you know, you got to keep sticking it to them in the face, you know. And,
well,
you know, good point. Maybe you can get some of the Congress out here, you know.
Right.
That's,
and I think regionally would be very helpful. I know there were a lot, many, many people that reached out to me, both in Twitter and other social media, and it, you know, from people from Montana, people from California, people from Las Vegas, coming to Washington D.C. was just unrealistic for them. So that's when I was discussing: should we talk about a regional? You know, is there some way we could do it regionally and then do live streaming and to be more inclusive nationally?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got, see, the reason why I bring up Las Vegas is, number one, everyone loves going to Vegas, you know, Sin City of the world, you know, everything is cheap. You got the conventions here, you know, I don't even want to think about what a hotel in D.C. would cost, let alone how much food. You know, and talking to Becky, she couldn't even get stuff uploaded because you got to pay for everything, you know, even Wi-Fi service there in D.C.
Yep.
Here, it's all over the place. There's all kinds of things you can do for probably... You could probably put on the same show here, you know, that they put there in D.C. for 25 cents on the dollar, you know, for the people, you know, on what they have to spend that are going there, you know,
mm-hmm.
The participants as well as, you know, just people that want to come to, you know, to see. So, you know, that's an alternative that, you know, I'm bringing up right now. I just, you know, obviously once a year is better than nothing a year. Okay, and from what I've seen, they're doing a great, wonderful job, and it's needed, And I think that it obviously does need to be done in D.C., especially right in their face. But if it can be done more than that, you know, like twice a year, put one in Vegas. You know, we can make a few calls. It probably only take an hour or two, you know, to really get some serious numbers, you know, on doing something in Vegas if people are interested.
Yeah. I mean, it's collaboration. I mean, that's great. I mean, I'm game. So.
I'm always.
Well, why don't you do Mary Ellen and, you know, Jay, you know, talk about it, because we could find, you know, I mean, what, how many, let me ask you this, how many people, the room that you guys were in that you spoke? I know the one last year didn't look like it would hold more than 50 people, but the room you were in this year, how many people could sit and listen to the speakers as they spoke?
Yeah, I was in the same room as I was in last year. So I know.
Okay.
I mean, they actually let us use the Senate buildings, the office buildings. So, I mean, they're pretty big rooms. And it's right there in Capitol. So you're going through security and all that stuff. So, like,
so
I know Mary Ellen
had... sit in there?
Probably, I don't know, Mary Ellen, would you say about 100 or so?
Maybe 75. No. I think 100 is probably in that 75? Particular building. Now, we were in the 14th floor of the Senate building for the film showing, and that probably could fit a few hundred people in it, but there wasn't that, you know, there wasn't that volume of people.
Well,
yeah.
I would like for you guys to explore that, because if you could get enough, you know, people and the people to put on that whistleblower summit there in D.C., and if they were interested, you know, we can get, you know, some numbers here financially, you know, on what it would cost. And you know, but I'll tell you right now, it's pennies on the dollar compared to what they spent for D.C. No question about that.
Well,
but be more than happy to help any way
we
could.
I got to send kids to college and pay off the D.C. trip from last week. So let me let that sink in right now. I think one of the things,
because I did ask about this, I inquired last year about, you know, doing a regional type. And one of the things that was relayed to me from the organizers is one of the things about Capitol Hill is the volume of security. And I know last year there were some people that had infiltrated the group. We are not welcomed. So putting a group of whistleblowers together, especially ones that are disclosing some major corruption within the government, they feel a need to have protection for us. So I think, again, that was another one of the thought process about maintaining the venue in Capitol Hill.
Right. Well, you know, give some thought to it and talk to some people. I obviously, if you could have a whistleblower summit every quarter, you know, stay in people's faces, that's what's needed. Look, we're running out of time here. Actually, we're way over time here. Final comments here. We'll start with you, Mary Ellen, and then we'll put you in the blue room while we get to the rest and finish the show. Any final comments, Mary?
The comments would be is that I think our veterans have already suffered substantial scars for a lifetime, and it's up to the government to step up and support their well-being for their future and the future of their family.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mary Ellen. I appreciate you coming on here. I'll put you in the blue room. She's now in the blue room. She can hear us, but we can't hear her. Jay, final comments.
I can't thank you guys enough for always supporting us. I did see something. Somebody sent me something the other day, and it said something. It was something to the effect of, you know, if you're going to send a young boy or girl, 18, 19 years old, to war, be that fight for them when they're, you know, 45, 55, 65, 75 men and women who need our help. And that's kind of whistleblowers. We're not the bad guys. We're just trying to say, hey, look, there's a fire. There's a problem. you know, get help. We need help. And the idea is, you know, it's not trying to stir trouble. It's not trying to make problems. It's not trying to get attention. There are people that do that. But the ones that are sticking it out and fighting are just trying to do what's right and save lives, you know, or make something, you know, the VA, there's a lot of good, like you guys said, the VA, we want to make it better. We want to fix it for the 22 a day that take their lives, you know, and that's,
right.
That's what I keep going back to. So, but I can't thank you guys enough for your support.
Well, we love having you come on and keep it as dialed into what's happening and all of that. I'm going to take a chance here. I know it's risky, but, you know, I do know that Becky's close by. So if she has a comment she'd like to make, I'll throw it out there to her.
Yeah. Okay, Ivan, you're spot on, like always. The only comment that I have to make is, anything that promotes whistleblowers and puts them in a spotlight that shows that there aren't villains is a good thing. There's always going to be kinks in the road along the way, of course, but the thing is, like Mary Ellen said previously, this is an opportunity for people to come together to realize that it doesn't matter what you're blowing the whistle on. It's the same story, whether it's local, state, federal. And we're all doing it to help another human being. So whether it's a veteran or a neighbor or whatever, we're doing this to help each other. We're doing this to make the world we live in a little bit better of a place, even if for us, it's a living hell. So that's all I have to say. But I'm proud of Jay, and I'm proud of Mary Ellen. I'm proud of all the people, like the Mike Volpes, John Higgins, just everyone who's willing to fight and willing to stand up. I'm just, with all of this awful things that are happening, that is a blessing. The Ivan Buchanans and Rhonda's and Roz, that's the blessing, the silver lining in all of this.
We appreciate that. You know, sometimes the hardest things to do in life are the right things. And, you know, for those of you out there that don't know, I know at one point, maybe one case is over, but Jay's got like, you know, three cases going, you know, in the court system, you know. And so it's just not one. It's I asked him one time, he just laughed and shrugged off my question, but I asked him if he hit the friggin' lotto. I mean, geez, because I know what it costs, you know, for attorneys. You know, I used to be in that game, you know, and what they're doing, just not for themselves, but, you know, for the whole, it is just not the whistleblowers community. It's all the veterans. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. He's just not helping the whistleblowers. You know, and when whistleblowers are doing their thing, they're not, it's just not for them. It's for the entire VA community in this situation, because that's what, you know, he's blowing the whistle on, having to do with issues having to do with, you know, the VA. And so, you know, people out there, the VA community, all you veterans are getting the benefit and will get the benefit as time goes on, for everything that whistleblowers do, you know. So, you know, I certainly hope there's a special place in your prayers for them, because they're fighting the fight. And anyway, like I said on the last show, any way that you can support them, if you know that there's a case going on at this particular court on this date, go there, you know, and just walk in and listen and thank them, you know. There's many ways to support, you know, financially, which is very important, you know, but just thanking them, you know, the veterans and people from the public thank veterans for their service. They're continuing on with their service. Whistleblower is a tough job. I've dealt with them my whole career, you know, and it's tough folk to be in, to say the least. So my hat's off to them, and, you know, thank them because they're doing your work. All right, that's it. I'm going to put Jay or Becky. I don't know who I'm talking to anymore. If it's Becky, I'm going to get off the line. She's going to get me in a minute here. Yeah. All right, I got them in the blue room. Great show. Loved it. Thank you, Mary Ellen, for coming on. I see that you're still on listening. I think I'd like to, you know, I really think I'd like to have Mary Ellen on for her own show, you know, because she blasted through a bunch of things. And some of the things being, you know, veteran issues, she was on the panel, but there's also, you know, she's involved in some other issues, you know, have to do with corruption as well. You know, so although we are primarily, you know, having to do with VA-related issues here, you know, there is a lot of crossover there in other areas. So, you know, if Mary Ellen is interested, we'd love to have her on here in the very near future. And all I can do is thank Jay and Becky for coming on the update there of what occurred in D.C. You know, I just, they got to change the date, man. They got to change the date, you know. And I keep talking because I'm trying to come up with something spiffy to keep that meeting that they're going to have tomorrow, you know, on the briefing here. I just can't come up with anything good, you know. Ron, you got anything good, you know, to add to the briefing coming up for the head of the VA?
Kevin did brought up in his case.
Yes.
They wanted it dismissed because
he
was on a...
Yeah, I want to thank Kevin, too, for coming on there. I see he's still listening. You know, appreciate him coming on. Kevin, you know, when you talk, it just fountains of information comes out. It's just, we just got to get you to take a breath every now and then. You know, but he just keeps going, just tons of information. I love it. All right. I think that's it for me. Rhonda, you got anything?
No, I just want to thank everybody for coming on tonight. Thank you for being whistleblowers. I know you guys are the ones doing the right thing, and you get so much harassment for it.
Yep, absolutely.
But thank you.
Myself, I'd like to thank everyone for coming on also. I mean, it's always a good chance to find out what's going on, even though it's not a good deal. I do have a quotable quote tonight that probably fits quite well. It comes from a very old quote, so I have had to change a couple of words to be politically correct. It comes from Milton Berle, believe it or not. You can lead a person to Congress, but you can't make them think.
That's good.
Other than
That's
that,
good.
Yeah, first they pet them.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for
good
us tonight.
Night.
Y'all have a good night.
Yes.
Talk to you next
good
week.
Good night.